We're up to episode 4134. It is LeaningTowardWisdom.com, the podcast. Why do you want what you want?
Baby, we are lying here, pretending that we're both asleep. I can hear your broken heart in every single breath you breathe. It's hard to find the words to say when we both hurt like this. So I'll close my eyes and pray time will heal what we're bound to miss. No one can ever say why it goes this way. Sometimes what we want isn't what we get. Sometimes what we get ain't really what we want. Sometimes what we want isn't what we get. Sometimes what we get ain't really what we want. Oh.
Whoa. His name is Dave Barnes. It is from a 2010 record entitled What We Want, What We Get. It's the title track as well. You probably heard him in the last episode. I featured Mr. Barnes in episode 4133. This has been a show that's been in the works for a good long while, and I decided to finally put a bow on it, wrap it up, and now I'm delivering it to you. Why do you want what you want? It's Leaning Toward Wisdom. Welcome. On the open door.
Can ever say why it goes this way. Sometimes what we want isn't what we get. Sometimes what we get ain't really what we want. Sometimes what we want isn't what we get. Sometimes what we get ain't really what we want. We've been so long for things we just keep forgetting that we got all we'll ever need. You and me, yeah, you and me, you and me, baby, yeah. Everything
Barnes, What We Want, What We Get, 2010, as we hit the record button today on Tuesday, February the 20th, 2018, it is $9.99 at iTunes. I've told you before, I use iTunes. I know a lot of people diss it. I'm a Mac guy. I've been a Mac guy since the very first Mac came out in 1984, and I know it's a resource hog and all that. But it's still the go-to for me. If it's not for you, presumably anywhere that you can find downloadable music, you will find that record. Or if you're in a streaming service, check him out. Support his music, Dave Barnes. Why do you want what you want? It's the question of the hour. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. Lots of people want a lot of things. Duh. A lot of people want more money. Don't necessarily have any specific thing that they want to do with it, They just think having more of it will make them happy or happier. Or maybe they do know what they want. Or maybe they think they know what they want. Maybe they think they want or know they want a nicer house, a newer car, exotic fancy vacations, fancier restaurants to frequent. A lot of people want more recognition. They don't know why, but people envy famous people and they imagine what life might be like to hear the crowd applaud or to be chased down for an autograph. As I'm recording today's episode on the flat panel, some feet away from me on the wall in the Yellow Studio is the flat panel, and on it is the Olympics. And when I was a kid growing up and the Olympics were on, you could go outside. This is when kids played outside. That's how old I am. And you knew when the Olympics were on because we were all outside trying to mimic whatever sport was kind of the deal that day or the night before. Right, we didn't have all these channels, so the Olympics were on prime time, and you just got to see whatever the network put on. Today, I've got DirecTV, and I'm on channel 205, and 205 is the Olympic experience, and sometimes there'll be four channels. I don't know, you know, they're NBC Sports and CNBC and channel. The network channel for NBC. Today there are two on the Olympic experience, and right now they're mostly interviews. But, man, we would go outside and we would try to mimic. And you know there are kids growing up, and, yes, they like the sport, but they want the adoration. They want that fame. They want that glory. That's what some people want. Everybody wants something. We all want something. Everybody wants – well, I would – dare say everybody wants many somethings. I don't think that you or me, we want just one something. There is a litany of somethings that we want because we all want a lot of different things. Does that speak to our lack, or does that speak to our lack of gratitude? Or both, or neither? Maybe it just speaks to our discontentment with whatever the status quo is. Warren Buffett is worth, I think the number I read was $87 billion. And yet the man still reports to work every day to achieve and to amass more. And we already know that he's going to give away 99% of it. So he's not going to work every day to get more money so he can lavish anything on himself. All the reports for years have claimed that he lives a fairly modest lifestyle. He certainly lives a modest lifestyle relative to his income. Ridiculously modest. So why does he want more? Why do you want more? Well, because you don't have it yet. And you know what? When you get it, it still won't be enough. It just never is.
Hey, it's me. I know we haven't talked in a while, but I've been thinking about you a lot, and I really miss you. Can you meet me at the house that we both love? I'll be there around 6 o'clock. I hope to see you.
Why'd you call me today? With nothing new to say. You pretend it's just hello, but you know what it does to me to see your number on the phone. Now tell me, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? Are you trying to bring back the tears? Just memories. You keep taking me back where I've already been. When we had it's almost like I'm losing you again. Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me?
His name is Jared Neiman, N-I-E-M-A-N-N. Yes, he's country. Name of the record is Judge Jared and the Hung Jury. It's a 2010 record. Name of the song is What Do You Want?
Neither do my friends to stay up at night to pull me through and to find things to keep my mind off of you. So now tell me, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? Did you call to say you found someone and I'm a used to be? You keep taking me back where I've already been. If you moved on, why does it feel like I'm losing you again? Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me? Do you want me to say that I'm content, that I'm on the fence, that I wish you would have stayed? Oh, baby, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? To come here and make love tonight, 'cause you're feeling lonely. You keep taking me back where I've already been. We wake up and say goodbye. It's like I'm losing you again. Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want from me?
Jared Neiman, Judge Jared, and the Hung Jury, a 2010 record, $9.99 at iTunes. Anywhere else, I suppose. I'm going to start by using Leaning Toward Wisdom as a case study, and you know why I do this. It's easier for me to pick on myself than it is to pick on you or someone else. Leaning Toward Wisdom kind of, sort of, officially began on Tuesday, October the 20th, 2001. Yeah, it was a Tuesday, just like today. And it began as a blog. But I was posting content online beginning in the fall of 1996, and I was using the moniker Leaning Toward Wisdom. It was all done in HTML, and the domain name was not Leaning Toward Wisdom. This was before I was domain name savvy. And in fact, that is proved by the fact that I did not own my own name, randycantrell.com, until December of 1999. It would be February of 2005 before I would snag the LTW domain, Leaning Toward Wisdom. I'm a slow learner. What can I tell you? I can't remember. I have racked my brain trying to remember what was the first website that I used where I used Leaning Toward Wisdom, and it escapes me. And why did I want to start journaling? We didn't call it blogging, not then. And why did I want to blog under the guise of Leaning Toward Wisdom? Well, as I go back in time, I was approaching my 40th birthday. I was 39 years old when I began to chronicle things under the Leaning Toward Wisdom banner. And these were random things. I was all over the board. There wasn't any focus. It was just a bunch of scatter shooting of whatever I was thinking about. Now, you might say to yourself, well, Randy, nothing's changed. Oh, yeah, it has. Whatever opinions, whatever, you know, whatever was on my mind, And again, this was all in text. I was just writing, and these were not lengthy things. These were, I'm guessing, going back. I don't have them, by the way. 500 to 750 words, you know, well under 1,000 words. It would be rare for me to write much more than that, but I did it pretty regularly. I had two kids. I still have two kids, but at the time I had two kids, and the oldest was turning 16. Well, no, by that fall, he had already turned 16. He turned 16 in August, and both in high school. I can't remember why I wanted to do it at that stage, at the very, very beginning. Maybe it's because the next year I was turning 40. And maybe it's because I could sense the high school days of my kids. That was fixing to come to an end. It wasn't going to last more than a couple of more years. And then, you know, then college was going to happen for a few more years. I was at the time operating a retailing company in Dallas, and I was putting in all the typical long hours that is required of anybody who leads a multi-million dollar outfit. Maybe journaling. No, there's no maybe to it. I started to say maybe journaling was therapeutic. It absolutely was therapeutic. But I'm old now. I'm old now, and I just can't quite remember all the details, you know, at the beginning. So, you know, give me a break. It was 21 years ago. The internet was young, and reasonably so was I. Within a year, I had put an audio file on my HTML website. No, it wasn't podcasting. We didn't even know what that was. Keep in mind, Apple iTunes was launched on January the 9th, 2001. So it would be about 3 years before the term podcasting would even come about in 2004. I do remember hearing about, and I do remember reading about, audio blogging. You never hear that word anymore. Or term. And that really is kind of what prompted me to post my first audio files up on this horrible HTML website. Can't tell you what I used. I taught myself a little bit of HTML, but I did have some kind of a software program that escapes me. As I recall it, it wasn't anything that was terribly popular. You know, I mean, there weren't that many of us. The people that were really building websites at the time were people that were really into it and knew the code. And then there were the hacks like me that didn't. And we had to rely on some piece of software to basically help us do it. But it was really cumbersome. It was really difficult. It's really hard. Even posting was by today's standards, was really difficult. And hard drive space, let's go back 21 years, hard drive space was really hard to come by because of the expense. Hard drive space was not cheap. And so, no, I don't have those original files, I'm sorry to report. Because when I abandoned that original website, whatever that domain was, I don't remember, I did not keep any of the files. I didn't back anything up. All that content just went away as I ditched and jettisoned whatever that domain was. Probably a blessing, to tell you the truth. I could hear you say, oh, no, trust me. I don't think the world missed much. Probably was a blessing, because I'm very sure that the stuff was quite dreadful. But the point is the question. Why did I want what I wanted? Why did I want what I wanted at that time? Was it expression? Was it brain dumping? Was it venting? Was it chronicling? You know, what exactly was it?
Skin and bones, you never did come home. Crashing on my heart through the telephone. I remember the tall grass waving in past lives, old poems. I must have lived a lifetime without you. You must have ended up somebody's angel. I remember you
name is Brad Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N. It's a 2016 record entitled Painkillers. The name of the song is Nobody Wins.
I had to learn how to begin again. It's all right. Move on.
Brian Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N. The name of the record is Painkillers from 2016, $9.99. Song, Nobody Wins. I just don't remember. I don't remember when I started leaning toward wisdom, the precise impetus. You know, I mean, did I just wake up one day and decide, you know, I'm going to start blogging? Now, blogging was, you know, it was gaining some traction, and there were a few blogs that I followed. Now, blogging back in that day, the main ones that I followed, they had a pretty heavy emphasis on the internet itself, on web design and those kinds of things. But expression, brain dumping, venting, chronicling, I admit I did all of those things, and I would suppose all of those things were on my mind. It's easier for me to tell you what was not on my mind. Building an audience. Only in my business endeavors have I really wanted to do that for obvious reasons, right? I mean, as a business, you want customers. Now, fast forward to the beginning of 2005, and okay, now, by now, I was much clearer about what I wanted. And it was then that I registered the name leaningtowardwisdom.com, and I started the podcast. WordPress was not commonplace. This is 2005. Well, podcasting wasn't, you know, commonplace. But I had been posting and putting audio files of my own voice. I had been putting those on file online for a number of years. But remember, when I jettisoned the old site, all that content, thankfully, it went away. And because of a lack of hard drive space, I didn't back up any of those audio files. And these files, none of those files, as I recall, were in MP3 format, which is the format that you're listening to me today. Well, unless you're inside the Facebook group where you can watch the video. He says, making his pitch for you to join the Facebook group. If you're in Facebook, go to leaningtowardwisdom.com. You can click on that Facebook link that you'll see there, the Facebook icon. Takes you right to the Leaning Toward Wisdom secret private group. You can get in there. You just have to behave yourself to stay. WordPress was not a thing. It was around, but I didn't know it. What I did is I found, so this is 2005, I found a local guy who did freelance web work, and he used something called Expression Engine. It was a content management system, much like WordPress, but Expression Engine came on the scene at least 2 years before WordPress, and there were a reasonable number of people that I followed who had websites that were done using the Expression Engine kind of a platform. I commissioned this fella, and I don't know, seems like I spent a few $100 to have him design a site because I didn't know anything about Expression Engine. I didn't know anything about a CMS, a content management system. And I certainly was not interested in continuing the old HTML strategy. It was cumbersome, and I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to write, mostly. And I liked the design. I remember we met at a mall in North Dallas, and we used the Wi-Fi from an Apple shop, and he pulled it up and he was showing me the dashboard and things, and it was very much like WordPress in that it kind of looked like Office Word, similar, not quite like WordPress, but much closer than anything that I had ever used before. And I liked the design, but my blogging and my audio blogging, as we were calling it then, man, it just slowed to a crawl. And that was fascinating to me. Here I've got this new snazzy site, this design that's something that I could have never created. Partly, I guess, I was busy with work. I was busy with family. I just didn't have time to figure out how to pilot this thing, you know? I didn't want to take the time to learn how do I post something up here? How do I get an image embedded? Here it was, a web-based software with my design, and the site rapidly, began to grow moss and weeds and thorns, and here I had wanted so badly a new design, a snazzy design, or at least that's what I thought I wanted. Ah, there's the point. And instead, I found myself reverting back to the analog world, where I wasn't posting anything online. I was just writing in my notebooks. Yeah, the old pen and notebook. Why did I want this new cool design? Well, because I thought it would have the opposite effect. I thought that if I had a site that was more captivating to me, because I'm the one having to spend all the time looking at it, then I assumed I would probably create more content. I still subscribe to that notion, by the way. In fact, whenever friends ask me, and right now I'm in the throes of kind of helping some friends get their first site up, and I've told them repeatedly, first off, I'm not a designer, but I do think it's important that you get a site that isn't perfect, but one that you're reasonably proud of, because you're going to spend so much time looking at this site than anybody else. And in my experience, especially for folks that are just starting out with their very first website, if people like their site, they likely will spend more time pumping out content. At least that's been my theory. You know, it's a little bit like the photographic evidence of our first child. Now, today, this may not be true, but when Ryan first came on the scene back in 1980, you know, tons of photos, right? I mean, you capture everything that this kid does. Second child comes around, been there, done that. It's not fair to the second child, but it's just kind of how it rolls, right? So I know of some of the whys, and I know of some of the whats of what I wanted, not all of them, but I do. I know the important ones, I think. Mostly by the time I was really approaching Leaning Toward Wisdom with a more strategic approach and more strategic intention, I really only cared about one thing. And you've heard me tell you this. And that is chronicling ideas, chronicling thoughts, chronicling wisdom for my kids. By now, I'm 45. No, not right now, in this story. By now, I'm 45, and my oldest is 22. That's a big difference between 39 and your oldest being 16. And I think that's important for the story, for the context. It's just very different. and some important things had happened in those intervening years. I was now about 5 years into a new role of leadership at church. I was still running the retail company, and I was on that front, I was pushing as hard as ever. I've never been accused of having a lack of drive.
I've been patient, I've been waiting, I've been holding on to promises. I know there are things I've missed, but it's okay. I made choices, now I'm different than I was before. I can see you now. If I got nothing else, I got you. If I got nothing else, I got you. At the end of the day, you're the only thing I chase. If I know nothing else, I know you. I've been mean, I've been crazy, compare myself to magazines, silent in my jealousy, naked, but I've been changing, simple eyes in front of me, I can see again.
Her name is Caroline Pennell, P-E-N-N-E-L-L. It's a relatively new record from 2018. The name of the record is Phases. The name of the song is Patient. Something we could all probably work at.
I've been waiting, I've been holding on to promises. I know there are things I've missed, but it's okay. I made choices, now I'm different than I was before. I can see you now. If I got nothing else, I got you.
Caroline Pennell, Phases, 2018, the name of the song, Patient. So here we are, we're up to 2005. I have registered and I've launched Leaning Toward Wisdom, the website and the blog and the podcast. But something was happening. Something had changed over the course of, you know, that 5 years or so. The church work was taking priority. My kids were nearing the end of their college careers, and I knew what was next. Come on, it's just the evolution of things. Marriage, launching their own careers, launching their own lives, launching their own families. And I also knew that we were close to emptying the nest. Now, it wasn't a midlife crisis. Honestly, I don't feel like I've ever experienced a midlife crisis, mostly because I jokingly tell people I think every phase of my life has had some degree of crisis. So I didn't have to wait for midlife. I didn't. I really didn't. I can't explain it. I've got a lot of friends, and boy, they knew they were going through it. Other friends who went through it, and they completely oblivious about it, didn't have a clue that they were going through it. I never did. I didn't feel that. Mortality for me has always been, as long as I can remember, ever present. And I'm weird like that, and I get it, because I think about subjects that I can think about subjects that depress other people, like death, you know, but come on, it's inevitable. Mine is. Well, hey, so is yours. Why are you laughing? Sorry, that didn't come as a shock to you, did it, that you're going to die one day? I'm a big, big John Prine fan. Back when I was kind of heavily involved in the record business, people would go, man, how can you listen to him? I mean, it's so depressing. I'm like, I love him. I just love him. He's got a new record coming out, by the way, kids. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one. So really, there's one song. At some point, I'll try to sneak it in. Not today, but sometime. Leaning Toward Wisdom started with a more positive, although maybe for me, depressing thought. And maybe it's just because of what might have been. And you've likely had this, if you're getting older, you've likely, and you have any awareness at all of technology. And if you're listening to me, you do, because come on, you're listening to a podcast. What if our grandparents had been able to chronicle their lives? You ever think about that? I mean, how cool would that be? And how sad, how angry. Here's the real rub. How angry would you be if you knew that your grandparents had the technology to chronicle their life and they didn't do it? Yeah, roll that up and smoke it for a while. You know, people can talk about how those of us that blog or those of us that podcast, there are people that I'm sure cast stones at us and think that we're self-absorbed, but that will almost always be my retort. If your grandparents or your great-grandparents could have chronicled things, would you appreciate that? Well, 100% of people go, oh yeah, it'd be great. But what if they had that technology and they just didn't use it because, well, they would have been self-absorbed? Yeah, well, I hadn't thought about it that way. I was having these thoughts well before the mobile revolution, because at the time, not everybody's cell phone had a camera. I mean, most of us, we had cell phones that were, well, just cell phones. We didn't have cameras and mics and all that. I was thinking like that when podcasting was called audio blogging, and frankly, when it was significantly harder than it is now. Totally doable, mind you, but even for a non-techie, but more difficult than it is today. It's never been easier. And I'm a communicator. So there was a deeper urge. It was really more for me, it was more of a, you know, I just got to do this kind of a thing. And so I did it. And I did it, like I said, mostly to capture some ideas and some things for my now grown kids. Neither of them was married at the time. Again, we're back to 2005. They have since both become spouses and parents. Rhonda and I are now blessed with 5 grandkids, 4 boys, 1 girl. And what began as a project mostly for my kids, okay, yes, it was also begun for my wife, only in that when I'm gone. That's a metaphor for me being dead, for those of you that are a little gun shy. And of course, now the audience has grown, because now I got 5 grandkids. So I got two kids, I got a wife, and I got five grandkids. Okay, yeah, I've got daughter-in-law and son-in-law, but they're not going to care. And all along the way, there's you. There's you. Yes, there's you. Well, let's not forget about you, because you joined me somehow. I recruited you. I coerced you. I bribed you. I begged you. Or you just naturally stumble-bummed around and found Leaning Toward Wisdom and found it so entertaining, so compelling, so disturbing, so horrible that you just, well, you couldn't resist. You couldn't look away. I don't know. For whatever reason that you're here, I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm appreciative of it. So let me tip my beanie and say salute. I appreciate you. Thanks. I knew what I wanted when I began. Yeah, it's changed a little bit because, just like I said, my tribe, my family, has increased. But I was pretty clear at the outset about why I was doing it. And Simon Sinek, he has made a career of being the guy that most people think invented that one-word question, why? It's a great question. But you know what? It's a better answer. I know my why. I know my why with Leaning Toward Wisdom. And I've known all along. I've known all along why I want to produce Leaning Toward Wisdom. If you go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, find this episode. We're at episode 4134. And what you're going to see is you're going to see the graphic that is used to kind of illustrate today's show, a photograph of a Westie dog. Now, a Westie is a white West Highland Terrier, Westies for short. And you will see a Westie dog attacking an ice cream cone. I'm like the Westie. I was pretty clear about what I wanted. Why does he want it? Well, it's completely selfish endeavor. I mean, the dog wants a treat. This Westie wants this ice cream cone just because he wants it. For me, it was, I don't necessarily think it was entirely selfish, but at some level, you and I both know that it really was. I wanted to pass on what I wanted to pass on. I didn't ask my kids about it. Ron and I have never talked about it. In fact, the truth is, I've never asked any of them. I've never asked any of my kids. I've never asked Rhonda if they've ever even listened to a single episode. And you know what? I doubt they have. I rather doubt that they have. And that's perfectly okay. I'm not offended by that at all. I understand it. But it's also, I also know how people are when somebody dies. And like the statement about our grandparents, if our grandparents had that, and they're long gone, you'd listen. If you had audio or video of your grandmother or grandfather or both, you would so jump all over watching that or listening to that, and it would be a precious, precious thing for you, rightfully so. That's what happens. That's what happens, right? We take each other for granted while we're here, and then when we're gone, it's like, I mean, look, just consider the content. Okay, it's crazy, stupid, rambling maybe sometimes, but when I'm not here, when I'm gone, this is going to be gold. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. It'll be bronze. Copper. No, copper's more valuable. Is copper more valuable than bronze? I would think so, but I don't know. Man, we hang on to photographs and notes and the smallest of possessions of people when they pass, when they die. Things that they didn't mean anything to us when they were here, but now that they're gone, oh yeah. So it is likely to be with Leaning Toward Wisdom, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, I'll go you one better. It's just probably how it should be.
Ancient catacombs won't torch dies. Nothing but darkness for my eyes. This task I must complete alone. Is unseen. I'll wait 40 days and 40 nights. My demon hiding out in his disguise. I came to look him.
Well, our last name is Van Sant, V-A-N, capital S-A-N-T. Let me spell her first name, because I have no idea how she pronounces it. L-E-T-I-T-I-A, Van Sant. The name of the record is Gut It to the Studs. It was just released, and it's a record that I like a lot. It's no more than 2 weeks old. $8.99, I think. I should have double-checked that. The name of this is Taking Back the Reins. First name is L-E-T-I-T-I-A, Van Sant. Gut It to the Studs. That's easier to remember. Gut It to the Studs. Anybody that's done any house remodeling or anything can get that. It's a 2018 record, Taking Back the Reins. Boy, there's just so much that could be done there. And I, true confession, I had some show notes begun using that song to illustrate another episode, and I backed out on it. So I decided to bring you that song today. Taking Back the Reins. Boy, that's something that I suppose many of us should do, and we should probably do it in context of what today's subject is about. Why do you want what you want? Like I said, there are many older folks in my life, and I'm sure there are in your life, it doesn't matter how old you are, that if you were able to meet them because they were already gone, some of the people that I think about are people that, well, they were gone before I arrived. They were gone before my birth. And there are other people that they were gone before I had any real consciousness about anything. You know, and so that thought of a grandfather or a great grandfather or a great grandmother recording some thoughts in audio or video, it fascinates me. I mean, what a gift that would be, right? Leaning toward wisdom is my gift to my family, nothing more. you're crashing our party, and I'm cool with it. Most people think about what they want in terms of jobs, incomes, possessions. Those, to me, seem to be the big three, don't they? Jobs, incomes, possessions. Increasingly, the younger generation, and this includes my kids, by the way, who are now in their mid-late 30s. The younger generation, from my kids younger, they also tend to add something else that my generation wasn't as concerned about, and that's experiences. And yet, one of the first things that you'll hear older people say that they would love to do, that we would love to travel more. Okay, we want what we want. We just seem to rarely give deep thought as to why. Why do you want that job and not this one? Why do you want to earn that amount of money? Why do you want that car instead of the one you've got or instead of another one? Why do you want that trip, that vacation, instead of some other trip? Or, as would be the case for me, instead of staying home? Why? It's a great question, but one that is not always easily answered. That Westie in that graphic that I'm using for today's post wants ice cream for the same reason that you want ice cream. It tastes great. A year or so ago, I was helping a fellow out with some free counsel. And it was probably worth exactly what he was paying for it. Absolutely nothing. But it was I would describe it along the lines of career counsel. He tossed out a number. And the number that he tossed out was the income that he hoped to one day achieve. And I asked him the question, have you ever earned that amount before? No. No, he said. So I dug a little bit. Have you ever earned anything close to that? No. No. Well, why did you settle on that amount? Long pause. I don't know. At least he was honest. He went on to tell me, you know, it just feels like an amount that would be, it just feels like an amount that would be right. Okay. I just felt like I was the detective interrogating the poor guy. It was a Skype call. And I said, how would it be right? Because now he's really, I mean, he has piqued my curiosity about how he came to this specific amount of money. And by the way, it was not like it was a tremendous amount of money. It wasn't like he was wanting to make $1 million a year or anything. It was frankly, in my estimation, it wasn't just a reasonable amount of money. It was, frankly, it was a fairly modest amount of money. And he said, I don't know. It just seems like a good amount that would give me the life that I want. Okay, well, come on, you know me. I can't leave well enough alone. So I continued to probe. And for about the next, I don't know how long, for the next half hour or so, we kind of kicked this ball around and talked about it with me pressing him with more questions. And it turns out that other than a newer model car than the one that he was driving, there really was no specific motivation behind the number. You know, his why, it turned out to be very closely associated with his self-esteem. Well, now we're getting somewhere, kids. His perception of himself was that until he was able to earn that amount of money, he just didn't feel like he would be as successful as he thought he should be. And it was not based on his own views. It was based on how he perceived he stacked up to other people at his stage of life. He was busy comparing himself to other people, and he didn't think he measured up. He didn't think he would measure up until or unless he earned that amount of money. And I was made to recall a time. And there was a time, it's since as long past, there was a time where the barometer was earning your age. Most of you are too young to remember this. But if a person earned their age, you're golden. That was kind of the barometer. When I first began my career back in the 70s, I heard this fairly commonly and regularly. So if a person was 25... and they were making $25,000 a year, you're okay. You're doing good. Well, that ship sailed. Yeah, the world didn't stay to that pace for too terribly long. Now, as you might imagine, my career counseling guy here, it just kept sparking deeper conversation. And I've talked lately about the hazards of that habit of us comparing ourselves with other people. So I'm not going to belabor that today because it was largely what the last episode was about. Episode 4133. Go back and listen to that one. Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4133. But boy, is it easy to do. Boy, is it easy to compare ourselves with other people and to think, man, I don't measure up. If I made that amount of money, I'd measure up. Within a few miles of where I live, right this very moment, there are multi-million dollar homes. I don't live in a multi-million dollar home. I don't live in a million dollar home. And for good reason. I can't afford it. Shocker, right? It's just a minor detail. It's a minor detail that if I could get over it, I might would live in it. No, I wouldn't. All over town, I see big foreign cars that any car guy or gal would love to drive, would love to own, cars that cost 80 grand or more. They're pretty commonplace. Come on. I mean, I'm living in the number five metropolitan area in the country in Dallas-Fort Worth. The most expensive car I've ever owned was about $32,000. And I thought that was ridiculous. And it's not because I'm not a car guy. I like cars, but, you know, I can't afford. I can tell you my why on that. I can't afford to drive an $80,000 or $100,000 car. I know guys who custom order Bentleys. You're talking $250,000 for a car. Okay, well, how do you stack up? Kids, I'm not even in the deck of cards that does that. I mean, these folks are playing chess. I'm over here, you know, I'm over here with my checkerboard. Her name is Valerie Carter. She is the subject of Jackson Brown's song, That Girl Could Sing. Because boy, could she sing. She died March of last year, 2017. She's most known for the hit song that many people have covered. You even see it on commercials on TV, Ooh Child. Valerie Carter. This is from a 1996 CD in my collection called The Way It Is. And this is the title track.
It's okay if you lose yourself.
Valerie Carter, The Way It Is, 1996, title track. She died, she was 64. I don't know, but just something just tells me that as nice as the lyrics are to perhaps think about, the way it is the way it should be. I'd do it all over again. She might wouldn't. She lived a pretty tough life. Terrific pipes, though. Yeah, Jackson had it right. The girl could sing. Man, she could sing. I'm not in the same deck. I'm not in the same stack with these people that drive Bentleys around. Would it be fun to play chess? I don't know, maybe. I'm not losing any sleep over it because, I know something that you may not yet have learned. Maybe you have. And it's not because I'm smarter, probably just because I'm older, maybe much older. A man or a woman's worth is not determined or measured in dollars. And you know that that's true, even though you may not always act like it, and you may not always think like it. I don't. I mean, there have been times in my life where I absolutely felt like my value was determined by how much I could earn. No question. I freely confess that. I know that that was stupid. I probably knew it at the time, but, you know, I didn't fight it hard enough. Sure, a person's value professionally can be, and I would argue is, mostly measured in dollars. And I don't have a problem with that. We're talking professionally now. Warren Buffett is worth, whatever I said, $87, $83 billion. I've read various accounts. Who cares, right? I mean, what's $4 billion among friends? 83, 84, 87. What difference does it make? He's worth that because he's made a lot of people a lot of money. I mean, because of his investment acumen and his equity position, it warrants the money that he earns. I don't begrudge it. He's worth it. Ditto for every other business owner. Ditto for every CEO. Ditto for every chairman of the board. You may not think that the chairman of ExxonMobil is worth $25 million a year. But you know what? If he can get it, then that's what he's worth. Dollar value is based solely on what people will pay. It's not based on anything else. It ain't based on what you need. Your income is not going to be based on, well, I need. Man, if I had a dollar for every employee that came to me over the course of the decades and said, you know, but I need, yeah, we've got a new baby and we moved into a new house and, you know, and I need to make more money. Okay. Let's see if we can figure out how you can earn more money. Because at the present rate, doing what you're doing, this is what it's worth. It ain't worth any more. You got to have to do more. Well, no, I don't want to do more. I don't want to work harder. I don't want to work more. I just want you to pay me more. Yeah, okay, well, I want that too. So the line forms behind me. And I got newsflash for you. You're not first in line. I am. It's just dollar value. It's based on what people will pay. I'm confident that leaning toward wisdom is a pretty decent piece of content. I'm also equally confident that it's worth what you're paying for it. Nothing. But, you know, there's no dollar values here. And there's no dollar values because I haven't assigned any dollar values, because leaning toward wisdom is not a business. Doesn't earn a dime. And so, okay, well, it doesn't earn anything. So it's worthless. Is that what it means? I don't know. You tell me. You're the one listening. It's worth something to me. When I'm dead, I've already shown you it's gonna be worth a lot to the people that love me. So it goes. Social media is terrific. I've always thought so. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't downsides. You and I both know that there are, most notably the drive behind why some people want what they want. The social media platforms often, I think, seem to help drive our desires. Money, looks, trips, all the rest of it. It's the consumerism. It's the consumerism that drives world economies. Buying stuff makes the world go round. And human nature isn't going to disappoint. It never disappoints. Well, it disappoints when people behave poorly, but human nature isn't going to disappoint if you've got any kind of an accurate barometer on how people are going to behave. People are people, and people are always going to want to buy things they don't yet have. They're going to want to buy things better than the things they currently do have. And sometimes they're going to want to buy these things even though they can't afford. In fact, most of the time, they're going to want the things that they can't afford. Wisdom is, you know what wisdom is, largely? I've talked about it, you know, the ability to make the right choice in real time, as opposed to being able to look back with 20/20 hindsight and go, man, here's what I should have done then. If you can get that right in real time, that's wisdom. But a big, big part of wisdom, I have learned, is restraint, self-control. And it begins with controlling our thoughts, which drive our feelings, which drive our desires, our wants. They are the Fine Young Cannibals. If I had a band, I'd be tempted to go the opposite route. Be something like Decrepit Old Cannibals. But these are the Fine Young Cannibals. The Raw and the Cooked is the name of the CD. 1989. It's a great record. Tell Me What is the name of this song. Fine Young Cannibals, a British band, formed in Birmingham, not Alabama, the UK. You see a friend post pictures of a trip overseas on Instagram, and you think, man, I've never even been out of the country. Be nice to go to Ireland, New Zealand. And all of a sudden, envy, and envy doesn't stay as envy, by the way. Envy will always morph into jealousy. And all the while you're thinking, man, if we were doing better financially, we could make a trip like that. Yeah, but we can't. Funny thing is, we might not have ever even thought about it before, seeing that Instagram post. There's the downside of social media. It's not the medium's fault. Come on, it's us. It's human beings. It's we're behaving like humans behave, sometimes poorly. It's our fault because we're out of touch with why we want what we want, and understanding, is it even good for us? Some weeks ago, I was talking about this very thing with somebody, and the talk turned specifically to dollars and what we would do if we had some extra money. And it wasn't about any specific amount of money. And I have no idea how this conversation got started, but it did get started. I don't know. It seems like we also were talking, and maybe this sparked it. We were talking about there was somebody that had won some massive amount of money in some lottery or something. I don't remember. But I did mention in that conversation some specific things that I would do with extra money. And we weren't talking about stupid money. These were ridiculously simple, unsexy things that most people would just scoff at. And the things that I mentioned, three things, and I mentioned them in this order. A nice steak dinner with Rhonda, it'd be nice. I don't care one thing about steak, but she loves it. I talked about a few house renovations, right? I mean, there's always things that need to be fixed around the house. Some shoring up you need to do. And the third thing I mentioned was, you know, some audio gear that I don't need. And that was about the extent of it. And as I recall, he wasn't much better at his list. You know, I mean, his list wasn't, it was different than mine, but it wasn't any more profound than mine. It wasn't life altering or anything. What would your list look like? I mean, suppose you got an extra, let's call it $1,000. Suppose $1,000 dropped in your lap. What would you do with it? You can do whatever you want to do with it. How would you spend it? And here's the question. Why would you want what you want? Okay, well, let's look at my three, right? Let's kind of post-mortem my three. You think I'm preoccupied with death? A steak dinner. Okay, well, a steak dinner because I know my wife would enjoy it. House renovations. Well, because we can always use it. It's practical. Audio gear for me because I enjoy it. That's why I named the three that I named. I'm not saying that they're smart. I'm certainly not saying that they're wise. And I'm not even saying that if I had the money in hand, that I wouldn't change my mind. True confession. I don't know why this popped into my head. I've got a $10 bill tucked away in my wallet that I've had for almost a year. Oh, man. I do. It's all I've got. I don't carry cash. I've never carried cash. It's not the money that matters. But that does seem to occupy us most. And I get it because we all need it. We all need money. And mostly we feel like we need more of it. Okay, why? Well, frankly, because so oftentimes we need to measure up. We need to stay up with the crowd. Which crowd? Well, our crowd, of course. Whomever crowd that may be. That doesn't sound like proper grammar. But you understand what I'm saying. Significance, respect, love, the ability to help, deep conversation. You have heard me talk ad nauseum about these things. These are just a few of the things that I want. Why? Let me give you the punchline to today's episode. Here it is, episode 4134. Here's the punchline. Because these are the things that I value. Because they make me feel useful. And because feeling useful means I'm making a difference. And making a difference feeds whatever beast lies within me. For me, and I suspect for you too, the fuel that we most crave is whatever fills us up. Right? Some people are shopaholics. Shopping makes them feel better. Fills them up. Now, sadly, it maxes out credit cards too. It's destructive behavior. And it's destructive behavior that many psychiatrists and psychologists will tell us is the attempt of people to fill some void that they are not able to fill. And like drugs, like alcohol, and like so many other destructive short-term behaviors that end up having long-term impact, this short-term enjoyment or pleasure is followed by the negative consequence that destroys us, sometimes slowly, sometimes not.
Nail your colors to the mast and have a little faith in me. I don't give up so fast if there's one thing you can say for me. We're one step away from a better day, however long the night. And whatever it takes, I'm gonna make everything alright. Leave the struggle in the past and have a little faith in me. Long as trouble's gonna last, you're gonna be safe with me. We're one step ahead of the tears we shed. Happiness inside. And whatever it takes, I'm gonna make everything alright.
They are the James Hunter Six. Brand new record, 2018, entitled Whatever It Takes. This is the title track, $9.99 at iTunes. James Hunter Six, old school kind of music, kind of a vibe. Yeah, I dig it.
We're standing side by side. But with you in my corner, I know that I'm gonna come out ahead. I'm one fat lip from the championship, so don't give up the fight. And whatever it takes, I'm gonna make everything alright.
James Hunter Six. You should buy some of their stuff. You should buy some of all of these people. You really should. I mean, there's not a dog among them. Did you catch a lyric that is liable to be a future episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom in that song? Come on, please tell me that you caught it. I started not to tease you and tell you this, that it's another show that I've been working on. I thought, I'm going to play this song. I like the song. I'm one fat lip from a championship. There's a show title for you, kids, right? Some people are shopaholics. Other people, they're thrill chasers. I personally do not understand the rock climbers. Do you? I don't understand. I don't understand the people that have a tether. You know, they're tied to each other, and they've got some piton hammered into the side of a mountain, and they're hanging by that should all else fail. The ones that's scary enough to me. But then you've got those free climbers, right? I mean, there's just Hands and a bag of chalk around their waist. I'm going to need a lot more than a bag of chalk around my waist. I'm not going to do it at all. I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. Do you? I hate heights. There's not one thing about that activity that speaks to me. I'll watch it. I'll be amazed. No thanks. You know why they want it? They love it. They love everything about it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. The risk is worth the reward because the value proposition is extraordinary for them. For me, the fear would be extraordinary. We pursue and we chase what we value. We want what we want because something about it is important to us. Okay, well, should we accept that at face value? No, that's the point of today's show. No, don't accept it at face value. There's going to be some piece of audio gear that I want. Always. Just trust me. Do I need it? Will it make a difference in my life? No. I can just imagine having it, though, and in that moment, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking about whatever it is that you want. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Would a few house renovations be nice? Yes. Some might even become necessary at some point. It's a much more practical want. Would an expensive steak dinner with my wife be nice? Yeah. Okay, it'd be nice for Rhonda. Well, it'd be nice for me too. If she's happy, I'm happier. And frankly, it would likely be the cheapest of the three. So I'm going to go with that one. That's how practical I am. Largely, I think these ideas are worth considering because it boils down so often to what do I want for myself versus what do I want on behalf of others. Not that I want to live their life, not that I want to make their choices for them, and there's a big lesson in that. It's the lead that I buried all show long until now, and I mentioned it at the beginning. The why is an important question, but maybe the bigger one is the pronoun contained in the question. Why do you want what you want? Well, because it's all about you, right? No, this is leaning toward wisdom. This is all about me. Wait a minute. Who is this about? We all think and know that we are the most important person on the planet. That old adage that we're all listening to WII-FM, it's completely true. The station that is tuned in our head playing constantly on an endless loop is what's in it for me. What's in it for me? As business people, as marketers, we know that if we don't speak to that, if we don't address that, we don't get business. If I can't tell potential coaching clients, potential CEOs and business owners and leaders that I would work with to help improve their leadership in their lives, if I can't speak to what is in it for them, I'm out of luck. I'm out of luck because that's what they care about. They don't care about me. They care about themselves. That's as it should be. If you think that Westie in the photograph that I used to illustrate today's show, if you think that Westie is going to share any of that ice cream, then you don't know Westies very well. Well, frankly, you don't know any dog or human because we're all largely selfish. And yes, even those of us chasing significance or any other thing that appears to be so noble, maybe they're not noble at all. Maybe what I'm doing here at Leaning Toward Wisdom is supremely selfish. I mean, think about it. I mean, significance is a really big thing. Whose significance am I worried about? Well, I'm not worried about yours. I'm worried about my own. I'm fretting over my own significance. Don't get me wrong. I hope you're significant. And maybe better said, I hope you feel significant because the truth is you are, but you may not feel that you are. But I don't care about yours as much as I care about my own. And quite frankly, nor should I. And you should not care about mine more than you care about yours. And besides, I'm smart enough and I'm wise enough to know that you're already worrying about yours. Good. You know what that means? It means I don't have to because you're worried about it. That's how it goes.
sitting at a fancy table in the ritzy restaurant. He was staring at her coffee cup, just trying to get his courage up by applying booze. The talk was small when they talked at all. They both knew what they want. There's no need to talk about it. It's old enough to scope it out and still keep it loose. She said, "You don't look like my type, but I guess you'll do."
'Is the great Jesse Winchester. He's gone too. It is a 1974 record. I've gone on record, and you can find the episode here somewhere. I don't know which episode it is. 1974. It was the greatest year for music in my life. This record was playing in Leisure Landing Record Shop near the entrance of LSU. And I walked into Leisure Landing, and I heard this record playing. And I'm like, who is this? Jesse Winchester. I grabbed the album cover, and I'm looking at it. And the rest is history. Third Rate Romance. It's a good story song. It's a good story in that it's a good story. It's not that it's a good story in that it's a good moral story. Why do you want what you want? So as you think about significance, seriously, it probably is wise to question why we want what we want and to ask ourselves, what's being accomplished if we get it? What are we going to miss if we don't? There's empirical evidence that when it comes to income, we migrate back to some type of a set point within a short period of time. We think the big raise is going to solve all of our problems, but within a few short months, the problems persist. The more things change, the more they remain the same. Maybe the elephant in the room is found in a single word that we haven't even talked about. Contentment. Be well. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Greetings and welcome. Inside the Yellow Studio. It is not lost on me how it doesn't matter what I do. It just seems to hit the 90-minute mark. I don't plan this, kids. It's just a skill. It's just a natural talent that I possess. Thanks for being here. I'm going to play a song from an EP by a band that I love. If you've listened to me any at all and been paying attention, the name of the band is Midnight Pilot. They now hail from Nashville, Tennessee by way of Michigan. The name of the EP is Stepping Stone. It is from 2017, and the name of the song is What If. Enjoy.
It's not enough to just be upset. It's to make it right.
What if I